And God said to the Son, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of justice is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and you hate lawlessness. On account of this, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, the oil of celebration, together with your companions. And you at the beginning, O Lord, set the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." In the name of Jesus. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." God, by the same voice, the same word, through the incarnate Son, while here on earth, said, "I am the light of the world." In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." The Lord Christ, speaking the same word before a tomb, said, "Lazarus, come forth." And in the beginning, God blessed man. And now, the exalted Lord Christ, who is that blessing, says it to you anew this morning. "My, your sins are forgiven." Brothers and sisters, there is a very intimate relationship between the doctrine of creation and the doctrine of soteriology, salvation. The doctrine of creation, as expounded in Scripture, is the foundation for the doctrine of salvation. And as it is postulated in the Scriptures and detailed and witnessed to throughout the Scriptures, the doctrine of creation gives strength and firmness to the doctrine of salvation. For the same God is our Creator and our Savior. To deny one is to deny the other. Therefore, it is of the utmost importance, if we confessional Christians, on the basis of Holy Scripture, confess the heart of Scripture, salvation alone by faith in Jesus Christ, we must also attend it by confessing loudly and clearly, God also is our Creator and has restored us to that creation as He originally created it through the work of His Son, His cross, His resurrection. As I said, to deny one is to deny the other, to shame one, to belittle one, to neglect one is to do the same to the other. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly what is happening to most of visible Christianity here in Western Christendom, America, and in Europe. We are denying God, our Creator, because to deny how He said He created the world in Genesis 1 and 2 and witnessed through our Scripture is to deny Him as our Creator. And we are in grave danger also then of belittling and finally denying Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the whole human race. Theories of the origin of life, philosophical theories, pseudo-scientific theories such as evolution, are lies of the old evil foe that is perpetrated on the human race to move us into idolatry, as Paul witnesses in Romans chapter 1, to worship the creation, and that is what these theories are, to worship the creation rather than the Creator. We are in gross idolatry, and God will hand us over into His judgment. And this is a dire threat to our Christian witness to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I urge you, as the Lord urges all of us through His Word, that we can hold forth the doctrine of salvation through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ only as we undergird it and relate it to the doctrine of creation. We must witness that. And it's a glorious witness. Why could Jesus Christ, by one word of blessing, create thousands of loaves from five to feed that multitude? Because He the pre-incarnate Logos, Word of God, on behalf of the Father at the very beginning, created by his word all the sustenance of life for the well-being of mankind. How could he, when he was here on earth in the Sea of Galilee in a boat, get up, storm, be quiet? Because he's God, or more than that, yes, he's God, together with the Father and Holy Spirit. Because he's a creator. He spoke the seas into existence at the very beginning under the authority of the Father as the Logos. No wonder he could still the tempest. He owns it, that humble man of Nazareth. And how could he command the fish by one word, silently spoken perhaps, to gather into the net for that miraculous catch? Because he spoke the word in the beginning, and all life in the seas came about instantly, as God had so beautifully planned and ordained. The same God who spoke through the word, the pre-incarnate Son, to create all of life, also through the Son hung on a cross to bring life back to him. And this is so important and beautiful for us. My life, this body, your life, your body was created by God to be a holy temple to worship him and adore him. But we denied that. We forsook our God, as our parents did, Adam and Eve. We went into idolatry. We attempted to become our own gods. We worshiped creation. We worshiped the universe, or however other form idolatry took a hold of us. And we could have been lost eternally. But God did not abandon you, nor me, nor his creation. For as Paul says in Romans, while we were yet his enemies, under his curse, with all of creation under that same curse because of our sins, God loved us still and sent his Son. He died on the cross so that this created body, which was a temple of idolatry because of my sins, could now become a temple of the Holy Spirit, of his holiness again, for which he originally created it to be, but which we denied and destroyed, and now he restores to us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Christ. And how this should sustain us as we relate these two doctrines in our daily life. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, how you're going to clothe yourself. Don't worry about your earthly cares. You seek God's kingdom. I'll take care of all of these things. And he meant it, and he can do it, because he's the powerful creator. He owns everything. And by right of his death and resurrection, he brought it all back to God. So we never need to be afraid of anything. Lack of money, lack of food, nothing. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, our Creator, is our Savior, our Good Shepherd. And no one can ever pluck us out of his hands, those mighty hands. All under the Father and his love for us, and how we've experienced it by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we confess the doctrine of creation, because it sustains and upholds the doctrine of our salvation in Jesus. It gives strength to it. And through the doctrine of salvation, the wonderful gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, we look at God as our creator and receive the result of our being delivered by the Lord Christ in his epiphany. So then in this holy season, when we remember the epiphany of our Lord, his incarnation, his baptism, his transfiguration, how he touched people, and especially his epiphany at the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. Now in hope and faith, we look for that epiphany at the end, when in our resurrection, by the same word by which he created the whole universe, by the same word by which he called Lazarus from the grave, by that same word he will recreate our bodies to be holy and beautiful, the same blood, flesh, bone, body, glorious body. And we await the epiphany at the end, at our resurrection, when the same word of God, our exalted Lord Christ, will call into existence by the same word that he spoke on behalf of the Father, the original creation. He will call into existence new heavens and a new earth, from the ashes of this present one, and we will live forever as God's creation to adore him and worship him in the new heaven and the earth. Therefore, may we throughout this holy season and to our dying breath give all honor and glory to our God, worship and praise, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is our creator, and our Redeemer forever. In Jesus' name, amen.